We have two discussants. The first is Professor Elizabeth Yackel. She is associate professor in the School of Information, and she teaches in the program of Archives and Records Management.
今天呢，下午有两位的这个将有两位的这个报告人参与到咱们讨论当中。第一位呢是Elizabeth女士，她是密歇根大学信息学院的副教授，她这个主教档案以及这个文件管理。
And her areas of interest are access to information, knowledge representation, and archival education.
她主要的这个研究领域呢，就是档案利用以及知识的这个资源的利用以及档案教育。
So I welcome Professor Yackel.
大家欢迎。
Thank Dr. Bluen for inviting me here to comment on the papers this afternoon and to engage with our colleagues from China. On my trip to China with my Bentley colleagues, I had the privilege to visit the Shanghai Municipal Archives as well as historical archives in Beijing and other archives throughout the country.
在此呢，今天我首先想要感谢布劳英馆长能够今天邀请我来参加这个研讨会，同时呢也非常高兴能够与中国的档案工作者再次会面。在我上次去中国的这个访问当中呢，我有幸参观了上海市档案馆，以及在北京的历史档案馆，以及其他的相关档案馆。
Fran Bluen began his remarks with a comment about the cultural dependence on archives. On the other hand, I think the presentations by Mr. Yang Cheng and Mr. Christian Bach about the users of their archives and the importance of understanding users has demonstrated the universality of archival challenges and the common needs of archival users worldwide.
布劳英馆长呢，在今天上午研讨会开始呢，当时提到了这个档案工作对文化的依赖性。接下来呢，在延长先生还有这个巴克先生的报告当中呢，我能够发现，通过对用户对档案资源的利用呢，发现这一问题是世界各国这个档案工作者与档案馆所面临的非常普遍的共同的问题。
The development of the web presence of the Shanghai Municipal Archives since 1992 is impressive, and the focus on user needs very important. Moving from a material-centric to a user-centric perspective is the hallmark of every major archives and shows maturity in the organization. Mr. Chang's presentation was an excellent example of how an archives can collect and act on user feedback to better serve its researchers.
现在呢，有好多的这个档案馆也面临着这个同样的问题，实际上这也是我们在网络利用的一个共同的一个特点。在研讨同志，研讨这个他在他的报告当中，当时提到了他们对这个用户的访问的信息的这么一个收集，这样的话作为一个反馈更好的为用户服务，这一点也令我印象深刻。
In my own research, as Dr. Bluen said, I'm very interested in access to archives and particularly in understanding user needs and using archival metrics. So I was very interested in the statistics presented by Mr. Chang. The 73-some-odd-thousand files accessed by the three major users group provide some interesting contrast with the percentages of those users in the U.S., where personal interest, particularly genealogical research, is usually greater than all other types of research.
就像刚才布劳英先生介绍一样，我自己的研究领域的感兴趣的领域之一，就是对档案的利用。在刚才在这个延长他的报告里面呢，他提到了一个数据，就是每年大约37,000多的对这个档案资料的利用。这个就是这是包含了三大的主要的用户，这个也是与美国的现在利用现状是有一个反差的。在我们美国呢。 个人用户主要是这个家谱学这个研究人员呢，对档案的利用的这个总的比例来说是占的是最大的。
That said, the findings from the Shanghai Municipal Archives needs analysis also hold striking similarities to those conducted in the U.S. The differing technological skills of users, which sometimes impede our ability to put things online in an accessible format.Researchers' desire for more robust searches that include access points that we do not often traditionally give, such as subjects and names, and of course, users' expectations about the speed of the system fed by such other systems, such as Google.
所以说这个岩厂它报告里面提供的数据呢，对我分析自己的这个研究呢也是非常有意义的。但是同时呢，我也发现我们中美档案工作的非常相似之处，那就是我们对这个在技术上方面的一些这个现状。比如说我们也要面临有着不同的用户有着不同的这个技术背景，我们要针对他们把自己的这些档案放到网上去让他们利用。同时呢，这个研究学者他们非常需要一些非常强大的这种访问的这种终端，然后以便他们进行利用。但是这些东西呢，就通常原来我们都是没有提供过的。还有就是一些用户呢会需要要求这个访问速度非常非常的快，比如说像 Google 搜索引擎。
Furthermore, the 90 million pages of digital materials may form one of the largest databases of digitized materials in the world. The system side of me would have liked to hear more about the underlying database system and the server that can handle this volume of materials. Archives in the U.S.are only beginning to do digitization of entire collections on this scale and could learn much from the Chinese about management and delivery of full-text collections.
在他的报告中提到有9000多万的这个资料已经被这个数字化，这个我个人认为可能是在世界上来说也是量最大的。我对这个数据背后的支撑它的一个系统和服务器的运转情况是非常感兴趣的，因为美国现在也正在开始逐步的对这个档案全宗的整体进行数字化。我觉得有好多东西，包括他们的技术啊，还有这个系统方面的知识，值得我们学习。
I also enjoyed the response from Dr. Par Cassell, which confirms the previous presentation as he recalled his experience doing research in the Shanghai Municipal Archives. The ability to save previous searches and browse documents online has facilitated his research. But what is more interesting was his discussion of how the digitized documents transform the types of research that can be conducted at the Shanghai Municipal Archives and really expand the research methodologies that can be applied to historical research. The implications of, and I'll sort of quote from him, high-speed access to the past are just beginning to be realized.
同时呢，我也想对这个帕克今天上午做的报告呢，做一下简要的评论，就是他里面提到了他以前去上海市档案馆进行档案利用的一些经历。当中他提到了上海市档案馆的工作员工能够保存他以前去上海档案馆的这个曾经利用过的这些记录，以及呢能够在网上能够看到一些这个档案资料，这个呢非常在很大的程度上来保这个帮助了他，提高他的工作效率。另外呢，给我印象比较深刻的就是上海市档案馆他们的这种数字化的这种方式，实际上是给我们对档案工作提供了一个新的一个思考，就是说如何能够更好的让我们去接触到这个过去和历史。我相信这个帕克先生提到的这些理论呢，我非常感兴趣，我相信他将会在不久的将来呢能够成为现实。
Mr. Christian Bach from the Copenhagen City Archives also discussed the importance of understanding users. transferring concepts from his business background, the Copenhagen City Archives is systematically examining how to better express the benefits of archives and how to get appropriate user feedback. This is almost an archives by design and includes a three-pronged approach focusing on users, strategic collaborations, and thinking digitally.
随后的 Christine 馆长他的这个报告里面也提到了非常重视对这个档案的利用，就是非常重视档案的利用者，他也提到了如何把自己的档案馆的一些理念融入到这个档案区域档案这个领域以外，同时呢如何的向其他的那些这个学术者呢更好的阐述档案工作的一些能够带来的一些好处和利益，同时呢他也提到了对档案工作非常有帮助的三个非常有效的这个原则。第一个就是要这个扩大用户，第二个就是要建立这个合作关系，第三就是用在数字多这个在数字领域进行思考。
Hearing about these two archives makes me think that these are really excellent examples of the best in user studies, seeking user feedback about materials that they are using in a variety of different formats, understanding the results of those and analyzing that, and feeding that back into the administration of the archive, making it an excellent learning loop. So the archives is continually learning and feeding back that information into its own administration and management.
这两个报告呢有一个共通的一个点，就是他们都树立了非常好的一个榜样，就是说他们非常好的利用了用户的对进行档案工作时候最终的一个反馈，他们把这些反馈收集起来并进行整理，重新运用到对用户的服务当中。用户的他这些反馈呢有不同的格式，然后他们进行系统的进行分析。我觉得把这些反馈能够更好的利用到档案馆的自己的管理工作当中也是非常重要的。
In this age of Web 2.0 and also Archives 2.0, it's also interesting to see other examples of how user feedback is being fed into the archives. I enjoyed hearing in Mr. Chang's presentation about how information from researchers was being fed back into descriptions and into the decision making. Likewise, the emphasis that Mr. Bach placed on, in the example of the city by design, on finding strategic collaborations with different groups of users and working through those to try to develop not only specific projects, but also to get information for the archives to better describe its holdings for yet new groups of users.
现在在网络互联网 2.0 的时代以及档案馆 2.0 的这个时代呢，以上两位报告呢举了非常好的例子，就告诉我们如何能够更好的利用这个档案用户的他们的利用的反馈，更好的来帮助我们进行档案管理。比如说严长同志他就说，通过整理这些用户的使用的信息呢，重新注入到自己的档案管理系统当中，然后来帮助这个档案工作者更好的利用档案。然后巴克先生呢也举了这个城市与设计的这个例子，就是说他把这些自己的设计方案呢提交给交给不同的这个学术的专业人士以及用户，让他们不仅仅对这个项目做一个这个评价，同时呢通过他们的评价当中也对整个档案馆今后的这些发展通过这些反馈呢也有一个非常好的帮助。
What was even more interesting about these user studies is that the tradition of user studies in the U.S. has largely focused on other types of institutions, such as colleges and universities. And so we do not have as rich an understanding of the users of our public archives as we should. And I think both of these examples show how understanding users in public archives can really lead to better administration of those organizations.
这个从在美国的档案利用的传统当中，我们的公共的这个档案馆的这个利用的主要人群可能都是来自于大学。通常这对我们来说呢，这个用户群来说并不像 刚才以上两位这个所在的档案馆这样这个丰富，所以说这两个例子呢也是为我们提供了一个非常好的一些素材，让我们更好的能够理解公共档案馆它应该针对的这些目标用户群。
And so in closing, I would like to thank the presenters from this morning for their very interesting presentations. And I hope that you continue these user studies, and I would also encourage you to publicize them more, because I think they are really both very striking examples of the possibilities and of how information about users can be fed back into the archives administration, and also examples of how working towards either thinking digitally, in the words of Mr. Bach, or encouraging high-speed access to the past, as in the case of the Shanghai Municipal Archives, can really transform the archives and really make us move from that materials-centered to a more user-centric approach to managing our collections. Thank you.
在此呢，我最后也非常感谢今天上午所有的发言人，他们的，我希望他们能够今后呢，更多的这个对自己的这些情况呢进行这个发表，同时呢。他们的这些报告呢给了我们非常大的冲击，告诉我们从用户的那些反馈的信息里边能够反馈到我们档案管理体系当中，帮助我们更好的进行工作。另外呢还有一个就是正像巴克先生说的，就是 think digital， 就是要多用这个数字的角度去思考，哎，就是在上海市档案馆里就是更快的与未来过去进行这个接触到过去，这个呢我觉得能够更好的帮助我们把档案馆的这个整个的角色从自己的馆藏以馆藏为中心转变到以自己的用户为中心上面来。谢谢。
Thank you very much, Beth, for those really good comments that really brought the papers together quite nicely. I want to move to our second discussant, Nancy Bartlett. Nancy Bartlett is head of the University Archives and Records Program at the Bentley Historical Library, and she's also the Assistant Director for Academic Programs.
非常感谢 Beth 女士的评论。接下来下一位报告人是 Nancy Bartlett 女士。他是本地历史图书馆，密歇根大学历史档案馆，密歇根大学历史档案处的这个负责人，同时也是主要负责学术和国际交流项目的副馆长。
And in that role, she's taken a leading responsibility in our ongoing exchange with the State Archives Administration of China.
他实际上在这个我们本地历史图书馆与中国国家档案局。以往的合作当中呢，发挥了非常重要的作用。
And she's a monthly contributor to the leading professional archives newspaper in China, whose editor is with us today.
她也在这个中国的一个月刊的档案报纸上，《中国档案报》上曾经也发表过一些文章。
And she was formerly the editor of the journal COMA, the Journal of the International Council on Archives.
最近一篇文章呢，它就是，可以作为
comma
中文主编，逗号啊，逗号，
对，
国际档案理事会这个其中一个杂志就是逗号的，它一个主编。
We don't want to make it easy for Steve. Yeah.
Thank you.
So Nancy.
Thank you.So this morning's presentations illustrate the geographical reach of the Bentley Historical Library's international programs from Shanghai to Copenhagen and elsewhere in China and elsewhere in Denmark. We enjoy these ongoing partnerships with colleagues who share our interests in the place of archives. The place of archives is now more than ever a conceptual idea and an area of inquiry.As much as it is a geographical location or digital address.
今天早上的这个报告呢，正更加这个说明了，本地历史图书馆国际合作项目的地理的范围的之广，从 从来自这个上从上海到哥本哈根以及中国的其他的省市，甚至有来自丹麦的这个档案同仁。我们非常喜欢这种与世界各地档案工作者进行交流的这么一种形式。我们能够与来自不同的这个地方的档案工作者呢来探讨档案的地点这么一个话题。档案的地点这个概念呢，目前越来越变得成为一个概念化的一个想法。它更像是一个咨询的一个场所，现在的这种作为一个地理，就像原来的概念是说作为一个地理的位置，或者是一个数字的这么一个地址。现在呢，它更是一个可能是咨询的这么一个位置。
So place, as it relates to archives, forms a question asked by archivists as well as by academics in a broad variety of disciplines. And I would like to explore in what short time I have here this idea of place and archives by zooming out from the current archival conditions of Shanghai and Copenhagen to look more generally at the situating of archives as such. Beth has responded to use, and I'd like to reflect on place.
位置这个词呢与档案相关，这个现在的这个概念呢，一直以来被这个档案工作者以及其他的这个其他学科的一些学者呢，一直被提起。今天呢，我非常希望，利用今天的这个时间呢，与大家去探索一下这个位置和档案馆，以及他们之间的这个关系。我非常想通过。举一些档案，比如上海市档案馆以及哥本哈根市档案馆，从他们的这些事例当中来看到一些更好的了解档案馆的位置这个词它的深层次的含义。
So archives are by definition tied to a provenance or a site of creation. And this is part of what makes the content archival.That it has a known place of birth. And that place of origin has traditionally been understood by the archivist to be embodied in an individual or an institution operating within technological, authoritative, and cultural conditions in a distinct space and time. Coordinates such as these give records their essential identity as they cross the archival threshold.In addition to this status of a known provenance, archives have also traditionally...been identified by the subsequent destination of such records of origin to a secure place intended for long-term preservation administered by individuals and institutions with deliberate intentions. So this place of preservation may very well be at a far remove from the place of creation, or it may be in geographic proximity, as in Shanghai and Copenhagen.But both have always been important attributes for archives as linkages in a chain of custody.
档案呢，根据这个定义来讲，一直都是与这个出处或者是这个生成地点一直都是联系起来的。这也是档案它自己的一个属性之一。我们可以把它叫做这个出生地，这档案的出生地。这个档案的出生地呢，通常情况下呢。我们理解它呢，就是说，个人或者机构在某种这个技术或者权威以及文化的条件下，生成这种文件。这种文件呢，是在一种独特的、特定的时间和这个空间的状态下形成的。所有的这些这个因素呢，把给这些所有的这个档案呢一个特殊的一个身份，就这个身份呢，实际上是贯穿于整个档案的生命周期当中的。除了这个大家都知道的这一点以外呢，其实档案馆档案呢一直以来都被定义为那些被生成的文件最后的一个归宿。这些档案呢，最终会被放在一个适用于长期保管的这么一个地点。这个地点呢，通常是被个人或者机构出于某种目的来进行保管。这种保管的地方呢，通常情况下有的时候会远离于这个文件的生成的地方。 但是呢，这两个地方有一个共通的特点，那就是他们都非常利于这些档案资料的保存。我们可以说，就是它这种保存状况的连续性。
So the traditional role of the archivist has been to map that place of origin, largely understood, onto that place of preservation through a particular type of archival description in a disciplined science of classification so that conceptual navigation between the two would be possible. A researcher arriving at an archive or place of preservation has always been in need of a map to find his way to the place of origin and to navigate the place of preservation as he or she sets out to discover and interpret the archive. The description created and provided by the archivist is in fact referred to as in English a finding aid. To the extent that there have been national differences in the traditions of archival description, they have been partly differences in degrees of precision in that mapping, so that in some cultures such as China, there is a very precise accounting for content in a measuring or mapping of item by item. And in others such as America, the association between content and description has typically been at a higher aggregation. But there has been even more of a difference beyond that of precision itself. Measurements in precision, for example, are only the most immediately obvious.
传统的这个档案工作者的角色呢，他就是要，为这个用户呢，指出或者是画出来，指出来这个文件的生成的原始的地方，通常情况下呢，就是从这个位置呢，要从这个档案的保管的地点开始，通过一些在那儿呢，通过获取一些信息，就是对档案的描述的信息，以及这个档案分类的一些这个准则，通过这些呢，能够在档案的保管地方，能够帮助用户来去引导他们，找到、知道或者了解档案生成的原始的地方。当研究者他到达一个档案馆，或者是他这个档案被存储的地方，他通常情况下都需要知道或者了解这个档案当时是在哪儿生成的，或者是需要有人指点他去了解到那个地方。然后这样呢，会帮助他更好的了解或者是去发现这些档案。其实档案的注入信息实际上可以说是起到了这么一个作用，帮助来这个档案工作者来寻找到档案的出处。我们也可以称作这些注入信息作为一个检索工具。这些这个对档案的描述呢，根据这个档案工作的这个传统呢，它的整个的内容的包含的量是根据这个不同国家是不一样的，他们在这个档案信息注入的信息精确程度上是也是有着区别的。举个例子来说，在像中国，它就会有非常精细的、非常细这个准确的大量的这个信息，准确的映射到这个档案与文件之间。但是在其他的一些国家，比如说美国，档案内容与档案这个注入信息之间的这种关系呢，通常情况下就是一个高度的一个整合。当然了，除了这个信息的量来说，这个也是还有其他一个好多非常的其他的一些这个因素。但是这个档案的信息量，这个可以说是最明显的，也是比较容易看出来的一个因素。
Beyond the structure of the finding aid as a grid of intelligibility, there has been even more importantly a distinction of the ongoing relationship of the archivist to the finding aid. Just as maps themselves have become a source of analysis for culturally determined productions and purposes, so too have finding aids become recognized as signs of negotiations between past and present programs and products. The role of the archivist in creating and using exploration devices or signs such as finding aids has been culture-bound. So too is the role of the archivist in creating on-site and online exhibitions to tell the story of the archives. Anthropologist Ann Stoller is one to recognize precisely this sort of archiving as a process rather than archives as things, as epistemological experiments. And Beth Yackel has led the way in thinking about these archival representations. Some archivists realize that there is a paradox in the place of archives as Stoller's laboratory, that there is, on the one hand, the creation of navigational tools, which are intended to enable discovery, but that there is also the role of gatekeeper by the archivist who has been charged with ensuring security and even authority over the archives through those very same tools. The American aim, for instance, has purportedly been to minimize mediation once the finding aid or any other internal management tool has been created. In other cultures, the emphasis has been on preservation and controlling custody and preventing change to the security of the archives. The National Archives of Denmark, for example, has until very recently emphasized explicitly and even emphatically that its primary and essential function is that of preservation rather than access. Metadata there in Denmark serves as the finding aid, and that metadata functions less as wayfinding maps for the external user than as logs for internal data integrity checks by the archivist.
除了这个检索工具，刚才提到这个检索工具，它结构上的不一样呢，它作为这个可理解的一个知识网络，一直更为重要的是，这个用户这个档案工作者与这种这个检索工具之间的这种持续的关系也是不一样的。比如说这些地图本身呢，它实际上成为了一种资源，这种资源能够帮助这个不同文化背景的这个用户呢，来帮助他们来利用档案。所以呢，这些这个检索工具实际上是被看作是一种谈判的就是未来和现在进行沟通的这么一个工具。档案工作者的角色呢，在他们在生成或者是利用这些探索的工具或者是这个检索工具的时候，他们通常情况下都是受他们自己所在的文化的这种限制的。档案工作者他自己的角色呢，通常情况下，在这个比如说在档案工作的现场，以及在举办这个网络这个展览的时候呢，都会有体现。这个安斯托勒就是一个非常著名的这个人类学家，他曾经把这种活动呢，他定义为就是档案，它并不是对文件的简单的一个把它整理成档案。档案呢，更把它要认为是一种过程，是一种过程。它实际上是一种认知论的一个实验。刚才呢，拜斯女士呢，她也提到了这种档案的这种代表性。一些这个档案的这个工作者呢，他也意识到了这个矛盾，就是说档案的地点，就像刚才 Stoller 说的，这个像一个实验室。但是他在另外一方面呢，实际上，也是，帮助人们去通过这些工具来了解到这些档案，来帮助他们去发现这档案背后的一些信息。但是呢，另外一方面，他们档案工作者就是档案工作者，我们自己也有一个守卫者的这么一个的角色。那就是说，好多的档案工作者要负责，他们正在负责保护这些档案文件的这种安全性，但是他们这些的这个利用档案保证这些安全性呢，有的时候的他们用的工具也是非常相似的。在美国呢，例如来说，我们一旦这个检索工具生成之后，我们就会尽量的减少这个用户的进一步的需要了解这个档案来龙去脉的这些时间。我们基本上就是非常很快的会为他提供一些内部的管理工具。在其他的文化会比如说其他的文化会更加强调档案接收到档案管理以来如何的更好的去保管它，如何的避免档案受到破坏。比如说在这个丹麦档案馆，直到最近他们才非常详细的非常这个明确的指出，他们现在首要的并且必备的工作是这个保管，而不是这个利用。在那儿呢，他们的这个元数据呢，是一种这个 检索工具，一个检索工具，但是他们呢，可能作为一个检索工具的功能呢，可能会比较弱一些，因为他们的外部用户呢，会通过这些这个检索工具呢，上面所记录的一些日志的信息，获取这些信息，也许会对这个档案的安全性产生一些影响。
So archives' origins and their destinations and the mapping between them are now all undergoing radical change. And the change occurs for two main reasons. The first is that there is a heightened awareness about the meta-narratives created by archivists about archives in the genres of finding aids and in the shape of the archives themselves through acts of appraisal, promotion, preservation, and performances such as mediation in the reading room face-to-face with the researcher or across vast distances bridged through digital communications. Archivists are now more attuned to the fact that they do indeed author archives by situating their place in an administrative and cultural context. This archival condition is itself a relatively new area of academic inquiry, with the University of Michigan being one place where many have gathered for common cause around this line of questioning.
档案的本源以及他们的归宿以及档案之间的这个映射关系呢，现在是处在一个非常大的一个变化的一个时期。这个变革的时期呢，这个变革呢主要有两个的原因。第一个就是，现在对这个原叙述的高度的一个重视。原叙述，我自己上网找了一下，它就是对科技科学的这么一个追求的一个这么一个理念。现在呢，就是档案工作者在利用档案工作，在进行档案工作的时候呢，特别追求这个科技里边在里面发挥的作用。现在呢，档案工作者在档案鉴定、保管以及这个利用的方面呢，越来越多的会用到那些比较先进的一些检索工具。现在的档案工作者越来越习惯于接受。他们有的时候也会，除了把档案放在那儿，有的时候他们也会自己生成一部分档案，这些档案呢都是生成于他们自己所在的特殊的行政和文化背景，这些这个档案的条件呢，它本身也是档案领域现在所面临的一个新的领域，恰巧呢，密歇根大学正好，这目前也是。许多来自不同这个领域的人共同探讨这么一个问题的一个地点。
Secondly, and in conclusion, this newer awareness of the archivist's agency in situating archives is undoubtedly informed by the changing nature of the information as it is now created. Contemporary archives have radically new origins and destinations.We see this in the University of Michigan Archives, where my colleagues in the room, I hope, would also agree with me on this, where hard drives and servers are the newest addresses in need of discovery and mapping as the archivist continues to attend to identifying information of enduring value. New sources and new sites may be as ethereal as clouds, and in fact, right now, the University of Michigan is making very important decisions about its use of cloud computing,including for information with archival value.
现在呢，这种对档案工作者、档案的这个档案馆的这种概念呢，这也在发生着这个毫无疑问的发生着一些变化。原来呢，就是档案就是存放档案的地点，但是现在呢，随着这个信息的不断发展，现在也发生了一些变化。现在这个档案，现在的这个档案呢，它从本质上有着更新的这个生成地和它们的归宿，就和原来有非常大的不同。比如说在密歇根大学的图书馆，我们现在就要这个每天分析我们的硬盘、我们的服务器的最新的地址，以便呢更好的来帮助用户来发现，来如何映射所有的这些这个档案资源，然后来发现那些有长久使用价值的档案。新的一些资源和这个概念，比如说这个像非常轻盈的这个云计算，实际上呢正在也在这个密歇根大学做这个政策的这个做这个最后决策的时候，也起到了一个非常重要的这个因素。我们也尝试着如何来了解或者使用 这个云计算在我们的档案信息的管理当中。
Mediation and mapping are more technical, they're more international, and they're certainly iterative and a new type of engagement in which records will never really be at rest, but rather will always be in the process of becoming and at the risk of disappearing. The challenge we prioritize at Michigan is to expose the taxonomy, to illuminate, we hope, with a bright light, the paths that we pursue between origins and destinations, with the trails that we aim to blaze through our classifications and other landmarks in the archival landscape before us as we appraise, describe, preserve, and promote records that will no doubt defy traditional notions of place as there and here, then and now. Thank you.
他这个语言非常美啊，我就只能为大家I said that your words are so beautiful. I'm afraid my Chinese cannot translate your meaning. I will try my best. 就是档案的这种与档案工作工作者与用户之间的这种工作呢，非常属于技术层面的，比如说这个档案之间的映射呀，然后但是呢，整个档案的工作呢，实际上是非常不平静的，看起来是这个平，但实际上是永远不会平静的，并且呢，它一直这些档案资料呢，一直都会处在这种消失的这个危险下，我们现在在密歇根大学呢所。面临的主要条件呢，的挑战呢，就是要在档案的生成地和这个最终归宿之间找到一盏灯，指引档案工作档案的用户通过一些分类学等方面的知识呢，更好的了解。同时呢，在我们面前的整个档案学的整个的这个。这么广阔的领域呢，我们试图开辟出一条小道，然后来指引我们更好的做这个档案的工作，更好的去这个鉴定，然后保管我们的这个档案资源。我相信呢，怎么说，传统的这个档案的地点，以及这个地点这种概念呢，会一直不断的会这个发展下去。谢谢。
Transition.
Thank you very much, Nancy, and thank you, Steve, for a very good translation.